church. Thank God for our lives. Thank God for everything that he's been doing. We're going to be sharing some announcements later on in the service, and you will see that, you know, some of the things that God has been sharing with us at City Light in terms of, you know, the prayer, the focus of prayer in this month of January, we're beginning to see the results of it. So January has been awesome. It's been powerful. It's been a wonderful time. Amen. As you can see, I'm here ministering today. Pastor Lan is asked me to step in today and preach the gospel today. And I'm very, very honored to be doing that. Hallelujah. You know, very few places where you serve. In fact, I'll jump in the gun here, but there are very few pastors that have the heart of Pastor Lan. You know, very selfless, very free, very encouraging. And, you know, I believe God is using him to project a pattern, project the servant leadership of Christ. And, you know, I'm very honored to be here this morning. So, Pastor Lan, I want to thank you, Pastor Deva, I honor you for the opportunity you've given me over the years, over 10 plus years of working with you and learning from you. Amen. So let's have a word of prayer. We're going to go straight into the word of God and just trust in him for utterance. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just give you praise. I thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us to the end of January. Thank you, Lord, for seeing us throughout the month and for the wonderful testimonies and blessings that, you know, you helped us to, you brought in our midst, and things you've helped us to experience in this month of January. We're so grateful. Father, we just lift up the service before you. I pray, O Lord, that you will use me. Speak through my mouth. I yield every part of my body to you, my tongue especially. I pray for exact utterance. I pray for wisdom. I pray that you will help me to unpack, you know, the mystery, unpack the revelation that you have for your church this morning. I pray for impact this morning. I pray for transformed lives, deliverance, freedom, Lord, from the chains of the evil one. I pray that at the end, Lord, people's lives will be changed, transformed, and all the glory will go to you. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So for those of you joining us at City Light, you know, this month of January was tagged a month of prayer power. You know, it was a focus on prayer and the power that prayer exerts. That's February. But it's about the power that prayer has, or the impact or the influence of prayer. And so for the past, I would say, 3 weeks, Pastor Lan has eloquently shared, you know, about this prayer power that we have been talking about. I would like to encourage everyone to go and listen to the messages. They are on www.thecitylight.org on our website, and all the messages are there. So you can go back and do a recap. But I just want to give a very quick summary. Pastor talked in the first message. He shared that prayer is the engine for life. Hallelujah. It's the engine for life. In fact, there are very few devices or very few mechanisms or things that mechanisms that run without fuel. Even humans need fuel. We need food. We need something inside to generate power, which is the ability to do work. In other words, without power, you cannot do anything in life. And fuels, different fuels, is what helps to generate that power for us to be able to do things in life. So Pastor Lan shared that prayer is the engine. It's not even just the fuel. It's the engine. It contains the fuel. It's the basics. It's the foundation for work in the life of anybody. And it's very important. It's very, very, very important. He also mentioned that, you know, prayer should be a priority for everyone, not just for pastors, not just for clergy. But everyone should walk this behavior or work out this task of praying. It's not just for a select few. Pastor Lan also mentioned the reasons why we pray. He spoke from Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, where Jesus Christ urged his disciples, saying, men ought always to pray and not to give up. You know, so prayer is fundamental for perseverance. It's fundamental for keeping on in life. And, you know, he said that the reasons why we pray is because, you know, of the kingdom of God. God wants to establish the kingdom of God on the earth. Prayer also allows us to enter into the throne of God. He said, through prayer, we become co-laborers with God. Through prayer, we release angelic assistance to help us. Prayer also allows us to extend the presence of God beyond our reach. And then the last time he spoke, he talked about power and influence, how prayer has the ability to get to move things. So today, my task really is to kind of add to the discourse, add to what Pastor Lan has already talked about. And I'm still going to be talking about the power of prayer. And hopefully, by the grace of God, encourage everyone to join in this movement of prayer. Amen. As we're going to see from scripture. So my text will be from, my text is from James chapter 5 and from verse 13. James chapter 5 and verse 13. I will be reading from the New International Version, New International Version Bible, NIV Bible. And I will let you know if you are to change it, for the technical team. So it says, is any one of you in trouble? How many of you know someone in trouble? How many of you are in trouble? That's a better question, right? Okay. Now, I knew that would get your attention, right? He said he should pray, or she should pray, right? So, let me just read everything. He says, is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. So, you know what? Singing is an offshoot of happiness. You know, sometimes we just come to the presence of God and we're just all morose. The idea is that when you come into the presence of God sad, by the end of the day, you should be jolted up, your joy should be stirred up, and then it should result in some praise. Hallelujah. You can't just remain in the presence of God and just be calm and cool. No, because something has got to move you inside. It's if you're happy, sing a song of praise. Hallelujah. By the way, these are not my words. This is scripture. Amen. Is any of you sick? He says you call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up or her up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And it continues, it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. We're talking about the power of prayer or prayer power. Now, when I do an intertextual analysis of this scripture, what intertextual means is you're just looking into this text from verse 13 to verse 16, and you're trying to find some things that are common in the scripture. That's intertextual, right? When I look at this scripture from verse 13, I see that the word pray or prayer appears 5 times. It's from the NIV version. It appears 5 times. So you see, within our texture, you're looking at consistent themes, repeated themes, right? So the word prayer appears there 5 times. Now, when I the Holy Spirit now says, okay, 5. So I now find out, what does 5 mean? The number 5 mean in Bible? The number 5 means, 5 is the number of grace. Hallelujah. 5 is the number of grace. So I can induce or infer that through prayer, just from this text, looking at this text alone, I can access the grace of God. And even to start with, before I even go into that, he said, is anyone among you in trouble? Say you should pray. So in other words, the antidote for trouble or for people in trouble is what? It's prayer. Are you in trouble here? You're in trouble, right? If anybody's in trouble, don't complain. Pray. Are you in trouble here? Don't gossip. What? Are you in trouble here? Don't backbite. What? Right? Is your marriage in need of work? Don't complain about your wife. Do what? Are you looking for a job? Don't complain about the economy. What do you need to do? Are you looking for healing? Don't say you've gone everywhere to find healing. What do you need to do? Pray. Prayer is the antidote for trouble. Hallelujah. Prayer is not a passive thing that you just do, you know, just by the wayside. Or you do when you're in trouble alone, you know. Prayer is active. That's why it says the earnest, fervent, heartfelt prayer of a righteous person makes power available. There is power in this thing called prayer. Prayer is not just a passive thing. It is an active thing that engages your soul, your mind, your body. Every part of your being is should be engaged in it. It's not passive. It requires some fervency for you to see the results that it brings. When we see, if we turn to Acts chapter 12, and reading from verse 5, we see a very interesting story there. Now the church, remember, prayer is an antidote for trouble, right? When you're in trouble, you pray and the troubles, it will address the troubles of your life. By your own admission here, some of you admitted that you are in trouble. So I'm trying to tell you the solution, to give you the solution. It's not working harder in that sense. It's not complaining. It's prayer. So this was a situation where the disciples were experiencing persecution. As a matter of fact, James, the brother of John, was already killed by Herod. And the Bible says, you see, it's kind of hidden in the text. You wouldn't even, if you read quickly, you might miss it. I mean, when I was reading it, I missed it several times because it's just hidden there. But it says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And we all know what happened afterwards. Peter was in a situation, he was in a tight spot. That's why I so much love the song that you sang before, the City Praise song, You Made a Way, right? And when our backs was against the wall, God made a way. Peter's back was against the wall, and guess what the church did? They prayed. When your back is against the wall, that's not when you need to quiver and quit and just give up. That's where you need to engage in prayer the most. When you are pushed to the limit, pushed to the brink, that's when you're not supposed to give up, brothers and sisters. That's when you're supposed to plant your knees and earnestly pray like this church prayed. And we all know the story. God had to dispatch an angel to leave the spiritual realm, show up in the physical realm, and free the man from prison. How about that? That can happen today, but the prayer has to be done rightly. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're seeing ordinary people praying and results happening. Let's look at the life of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5 and from verse 7. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7. It says, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears. Again, there's an earnestness, there's a seriousness about this thing called prayer. It's not passive. I'm here to submit to you, brothers and sisters, that this prayer thing is not a passive thing you do only when you're in trouble or when you get a parking ticket or when the police cops stop you on the road. No. This is something that requires some focus, some attention, some deliberate action. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, even though he was the Son of God, he had all power and everything, he came down to it. The Bible says that he prayed fervently with crying and tears. He cried and he prayed. He prayed. Hallelujah. How about this person by the name of Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 9 to 13? Let's look at that. First Samuel, chapter 1 and verse 9. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is a woman who was married. She was in a polygamous relationship. The husband had another wife, and the other wife was very fertile. But she was not. She was barren by her own admission. And in verse 9, the Bible says, this is what it says. It says, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple in bitterness of soul. Look at it. Hannah wept and prayed to the Lord. See, brothers and sisters, any major change that is to happen in your life has to begin in the closet of prayer. Any major thing that you want God to do in your life will have to begin when you begin to take this thing called prayer seriously. She was so grieved in her soul and she began to pray. It says she wept much and prayed to the Lord and she made a vow, O Lord Almighty, if you will look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life and no razor will ever be used on his head. And she kept on praying to the Lord. The Bible says that Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Now, fervency does not mean all the time shouting. Fervency is in the heart. It's in the focus that you give to this thing called prayer. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, in 1 Samuel 1 and verse 27, we see that the prayer is answered. He says, I prayed for this child and the Lord granted me what I asked of him. So prayers are meant to be answered. Amen. God answers prayer. Turn to your neighbor and say, God answers prayer. Say, God answers prayers. With prayer, you can outlast your competition. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 5. This is Hannah still praying. It says, those who were full of hire themselves out for food. But those who were hungry hunger no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children. But she who has had many pines away. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, let me tell you. Even those that are ahead of you right now, that you are looking at and you are thinking that they have their life better. You know, the grass is always greener on the other side. Even those that you're looking at and saying, well, man, I got it bad. I wish my life was like X, Y, and Z. I'm here to announce to you that when you begin to engage in prayer, God will cause you to overtake your competition. Nobody said amen to that. Listen, I don't know where you are in life right now. You may be just at the beginning of some project and you may feel inadequate and insecure about the competition. Or maybe you have a business that you started and when you look at the competition out there, it might seem like you are way, way back. Brother, sister, let me give you a little advice. Do like Hannah. Cry to the Lord today about that business and watch him take your business where it needs to go. Watch him take that ministry where it needs to go. Watch him take that marriage where it needs to go. Watch him take that finances where it needs to go. With prayer, God will cause you to overtake your competition. That is the truth. That is the truth. This was a woman who was barren and her mates had children just giving birth. She was behind in the curve. She was not even in the race. The other one had 5 ahead. But guess what? She caught up and she overtook. With prayer. Oh, I know that. Even in my life, I've seen that. When I was coming up, my friends that started high school with me got into college years before I did. I got into college with some of them 4 years after some of my mates had got into college. But prayer. But prayer. God made it. God did it. God did it. Hallelujah. God can do it the same for you. God can do the same for you. Amen. Now, let's talk a little bit about the impact of prayer. Let's go back to James chapter 5 and verse 17. So, James chapter 5 and verse 17. Are you guys getting something this morning? All right. James chapter 5 and verse 17. So now James starts to talk about the use of prayer and the impact it has, and how it was used by people of old. So he gives this very interesting example in James chapter 5 and verse 17. He says, Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. Now, many people space out when they read this. In fact, I personally space out when I read this, because even though James said Elijah was a man like me, but how many of you know that Elijah was not just any ordinary person? Elijah's life could easily intimidate any one of us. First of all, Elijah didn't die. So Elijah just, the Bible says that a chariot came and took him up. He didn't die. So that's really not an ordinary person. That's somebody that's intimidating to me. Elijah didn't die. He just went up and God took him. That's it. We didn't hear anything about Elijah. In fact, Elijah was part of the three, in the transfiguration. Elijah came back and was, you know, discussing with Jesus Christ in the Mount of Transfiguration. So this was no ordinary person, but James compares him to us. In spite of all the wonderful, great and miraculous things that Elijah did, at the bottom level is the fact that Elijah was still a man. So, you and I have no right to disqualify ourselves from experiencing what Elijah experienced via prayer. Because after all this has been said and done, Elijah is still a man. Just like you, just like me. He still pooped. He still felt discouraged. At one point, he was suicidal. Still a man. So don't let this scripture intimidate you. That somebody stood out and said, rain, hold your peace. And God heard that prayer. And then he now said, rain, fall. And then he fell. Don't be intimidated by that fight. It's not grandiose. You and I can do the same too. We have the same capacity, the same power to do it. In fact, let me show you another extreme example in Acts chapter 10 of somebody who prayed, and that prayer resulted in a change, in a shift. Now, when I look at that, James 5 from verse 17, that had prayer twice. The word prayer appeared there twice. And the number two in the scripture means contrast. It means contrast or unity. With prayer, you can turn things that are not supposed to happen to you. You can make it happen to you. You can twist it. Contrast. One, he said, rain, fall. The other one, he said, rain, don't fall. Contrast. In the Acts chapter 10, I'm going to show you something there. Acts chapter 10, are we there? Just stay with me. I'm going to land. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 1. At Caesarea, there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion, in what was known as the Italian regiment. He and his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. Cornelius stared at him in fear. What is it, Lord? He asked. The angel answered, your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as a memorial offering before God. Whoa. That made my mind, that when I was meditating on this, I was a little bit confused. You see, because I have been brought up to think that God only answers the prayers of people who are cool. I was brought up to think that God only answered the prayers of people who were quote unquote spiritual. I was brought up to think that, you know, God only answered prayers to people who were good. But the Bible is telling us here that there was a Gentile man who wasn't even a Jew. He was a civil servant, a military man. The Bible says that his prayers came to God as a memorial. I began to ask God, what was he praying? How did his prayer get to connect with God? So much so that this was now the beginning of the evangelization of Gentiles in the whole world. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. None of us will be sitting here today if it were not for Acts chapter 10. I'm telling you, because it was when he prayed, God sent Peter to minister to the Gentiles. The Romans. No, but you see, God had to use a praying Gentile so that he could reach the Gentiles. He could not count on the Jew. He could not even count on the disciples to do that. Because they were so religious. They were so religious. It was, you know, they were like, you know, we can't, these people don't, they're not like us. They're not circumcised. They had some issues with that. So, but God was still looking for somebody that will engage in prayer. Ezekiel chapter 22 verse 30, he said, for I sought for a man. He doesn't care. I sought for a man who will stand in the gap, right? And bridge the hedge so that I would not, God didn't want to destroy the land. He was looking for somebody who would intercede. And he found out in the person of Cornelius. Hallelujah. So that's an extreme person. He wasn't even saved. He wasn't even born again, because we find out later that Paul, Peter now went to preach to him. This tells me that do not disqualify yourself from an answered prayer. Do not disqualify yourself. If God could hear the prayer of Cornelius, who wasn't even born again, who wasn't even saved, and if God could, this thing messed with my theology. I'm telling you, it messed with me. Because my theology was that, you know, you have to pray a certain way. Let me tell you, God hears and he helps the helpless. If you are here and you are helpless and you cry unto him, you can be rest assured that your cries are heard by God. You know, that's the reason why many people don't pray, because they think God is deaf, because they think he's far away and he doesn't care and he's not listening to what you have to say and he's not concerned about your problems. Let me tell you something, that God even hears the cries of the little one. Are you doubting? In the book of Genesis, the Bible tells us that Hagar was sent away by her mistress, by Sarah, because she was misbehaving there. And the Bible says, as she walked and went into the desert, there was no water for her and her son Ishmael to drink. And while she was there, she walked away from her son. And she sat there and just about to give up. And the Bible says an angel appeared to her and said, God has heard the cry of that child. There was no prayer involved. It was just a cry that moved the heart of God. Are you a single mother in this place and you think you are helpless? God can hear your cry. God is hearing your cry. Is your marriage in turmoil and you've lost hope? God can hear your cry. Are you looking for a job right now? God hears cries. God hears the cries of his children, and he even hears the cries of blood. The Bible tells us that when Cain killed Abel, the Bible says that God asked him, where are you? He said, the blood, your brother's blood is crying. God is not averse to tears. He hears every little conversation you have. He was there when you were fighting with your spouse. He was there when you messed up. He was there when you were born. So there's absolutely no need for you to be ashamed to come to him, because he knows you through thick and thin. Why are you running away from someone who has already seen your nakedness? What else is there to hide? He hears your cries. He hears your cries. Do not disqualify yourself from engaging in this thing called prayer, because that's the way out of trouble. That's your way out. Hallelujah. That's your way out. It's not complaining. It's not pointing fingers against your in-laws. It's not fighting against your boss. The power for change is in prayer. And let me tell you, that cry of that child, do you know what? That affair is still working into it in this generation. How many of you have heard of the House of Saud before? How many of you have heard of Saudi Arabia before? Saudi Arabia came from Hagar and Ishmael. They are still rich to today, because God does not close his ears to the cries of his people. God is not even a respecter of persons. So it's not, prayer is not just for pastors alone. It's not just for men of the caliber or the status of Elijah. It's also for people like Cornelius. It's also for people like Hannah. It's also for people like Hagar. It's also for people like King Hezekiah, King Jehoshaphat, who in the midst of trouble had no other choice but to look to God and say, God, I call upon you to help me now. Hezekiah's own was even worse. God told him he was going to die. Say, you will die now. Prepare your house and die. You are going to die. The Bible says he turned his face away and he prayed. God changed his mind. God changed his mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is looking for people that will pray. Now let's go to Luke chapter 11. There's something there that I want to just bring up very quickly before I close. Luke chapter 11. The power of prayer. God is looking for you, waiting for you and I to engage him passionately and earnestly in prayer. for change to occur in your life, for transformation to occur in your family, you need to get praying. Now, Luke 11, it says, on the day Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. We don't know the name of the disciple who asked this question. But I thank God the disciple asked the question, because when you look at scripture, this is the only place recorded, at least to my knowledge, to my understanding, and some scholars agree with me, that this is the only place recorded where the disciples asked Jesus to teach them something. Most times they learned via observation. They learned via osmosis. They were there, they saw it happen, and they just kind of copied along. But they saw something about Jesus' prayer life. They saw that his public life was 101% dependent on his private prayer life. They saw a correlation between what he did quietly in prayer and the miracles he performed outside. They saw it. And one day after he was praying, they came to him and said, please, this thing you're doing, teach us how to do it. Notice they didn't say, teach us what to pray. I was sharing with one of my GQ members yesterday night. There's a difference between teaching what to pray and how to pray. It says, teach us how. How do you do it? Because one of the main reasons why people don't pray is because they don't know how. Number one. Number two, they've lost interest. They don't think God hears. God is concerned about them. But basically is that they don't know how. The disciples understood this, that, come on, we are doing it wrong. The Jews had a way of praying. They prayed a certain way. They had some doxology. They had some, they followed the prayers of the Psalms. They read the prayers of Moses. But they didn't, Jesus prayed differently. So they wanted to know, how do we pray? Now let me explain the difference between how and what. Asking, teach me how to sing versus teach me what to sing. Teaching me how to sing means they tell you, well, if you want to know how to sing, first of all, you're going to learn. I was in a voice training. I sat in a voice training lesson yesterday. So the teacher said, well, when you go into, it was not for me, but when you go into a training, what do you do? First is your posture. You have to know how to stand when you sing. Then the second thing is your breathing. You have to know how to breathe like a straw in your mouth. Then you have to enunciate your words. That is how to sing. Now, if you ask me, tell me what to sing. Well, hey, simple. You want to sing Beyonce, or you want to sing, you know, Nene, or what do you want to do? There's a difference between how to do something and what to do. So the problem is that many people have taken the prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, which is in Luke chapter 11, and they've made it into a what instead of into a how. And so they're not seeing effects, because Jesus Christ was giving it to them as a template. That's why in Matthew chapter 6, where the same script, the same Lord's Prayer is present, you will see that there are some variations there, meaning that Jesus Christ was not really hung up on the technicalities of it, but was just trying to tell you, this is how you're supposed to do it. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, our Father. In Luke 11, it says, Father. In Matthew chapter 6, it says, give this day our bread. In other words, today, give us our bread. In Luke chapter 11, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Every day, we need supply. Matthew expounds on what Luke wrote. Hallelujah. So it's a template on how we should pray. And basically, this is it. When I looked at the prayers of all the people of old, and I'm telling you how to get it, impactfully in your life, is the breakdown of the Lord's Prayer is very simple. Our Father, that's in Luke chapter 11, now verse 2. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation. So our Father is the person of prayer. It's a relationship with God. You're not just talking to somebody who doesn't care about you. The Bible says we should come boldly into his throne of grace, that we might obtain help, well-timed help coming just when we need it. Listen, your help is not in a man or a woman. Your help is in God. Your business's success is not in your intellect or your understanding. Listen, it is in God. It is in God. You don't know the God that all these successful people you are seeing call upon. You don't know, maybe in secret they're calling on God. You don't know. So don't just assume that it's their intellect alone that is working this thing out. The Bible says, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that builds. Except the Lord watches over the city, they labor in vain that watch. It is all about God. Hallelujah. And he's our Father. God wants to help you more than you want to help yourself. God wants to deliver you from that problem more than you want to deliver yourself. God wants to give you that spouse more than you want a spouse for yourself. God wants to set you up more than you want it for yourself. God wants to promote your business more than you want it for yourself. So give him a chance and connect with him. Go to him, say, Father, I come to you. Now, there's a corporate side of prayer and there's a personal side of prayer. Matthew talks about the corporate side where he says, our Father. Come, everybody come together and say, God, our Father. But then there's a personal side to prayer where Luke said, Father. Just said, Father. Oh, Abba. Abba. That means Father. Father! Like my daughters will come to me and say, Daddy! You can call him Daddy! Don't run away from him. You can call him Daddy. I don't understand this business where you are running away from the person that can help you. It makes no sense to me. So the person of prayer. The second one is the petition of prayer. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Prayer is for you to release the power of God on the earth. Release the power of God over your circumstance. Anywhere you go in the scripture, you said, and the Lord was with this person. The Lord was with Abraham. The Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Hannah. The Lord was with Samuel. Listen, you cannot do anything without the Lord's presence. It's called the God factor. You need God in your life. Listen, stop running away from God. This is not about joining a church or whatever. We're talking about you connecting with your Father. Stop fighting it. You know your life has been stuck for years. You know you've tried it. You're just trying to be proud about it. Just humble yourself and come to him. Then there's the provision of prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily provide. There's a provision. God has a reservoir of provision for you. I remember as a single man, when it looked like I was never ever going to be married. It looked like that. In fact, if I start to share my testimony, we will be here for another hour. I mean, it looked completely impossible. I came to this country as an international student on a student visa. And I knew God had called me to this place. God moved me from where I was to this country for a purpose. I knew it. But how am I going to stay here legally? Oh, brothers and sisters, I'm trying to tell you, it looked impossible, but prayer did it. Look, I'm telling you, prayer did it. And I did not have to compromise my faith. I did not have to compromise my values. I did not have to compromise anything because prayer did it. God did it, and God can do it for you too. I stand here today to the glory of God as a citizen of the United States. I can vote. For so many years, I couldn't vote. For so many years, I couldn't walk. For so many years, I couldn't do anything. I felt trapped. But when I planted my knees and began to pray, God showed up. How about my marriage? What about marriage? God brought a woman, a wife, wonderful for me that I don't even deserve. But it is prayer. I was living in Pastor Lan's house and Pastor Debo's house. God used them. Listen. Hold on, please. This is to God. Listen. I was at the brink of homelessness. I am not from a poor home. My parents are educated people, more upper middle class. I had options, but I knew God called me here. And while I was here, I was living on the South Shore side in my one bedroom apartment, not even one bedroom, it was a studio I was living in. And that month was the time I met Pastor Lan and Pastor Debo was around the time my rent was due for the next, and had no job. I had no way. In fact, sometimes when I go to my fridge and open the fridge, you know how I survived? The air from the fridge filled me up because sometimes there was no food there. I had to rely sometimes on prayer. I would just pray and God would touch somebody, God would touch the heart of a sister. They would just bring food. We're not in any relationship. They would just say, you know what? I was just at home and God said, go and cook rice and stew. God said, you like rice and stew? I'm telling you, it happened. I am not even exaggerating. I am trying to tell you people that prayer works. I will open my door and I'm seeing people bringing me food because I had nothing. Then finally, Pastor Lan took me and Pastor Ebo. I lived with them. And God began to what? Arrange things. And I remember I decided, I said, every day, I heard a man of God preach by the name of Kenneth E. Hagin. He talked about how he got his wife, how God revealed to him in times of prayer. And I decided to dedicate 1 hour of my life every day to prayer. When I come back from work, I go downstairs. I'd been know nothing. Like Paul says, I don't want to know anybody. I don't want to know anything except Jesus and him crucified. And I began to pray. And God brought me my wife. Hallelujah. Brought her to me. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting for? Go on your knees. Stop chasing people. Stop chasing things. Stop chasing money. These things will come to you when you begin to plant yourself in prayer. When you begin to join in prayer. Stop it. Stop it. Stop chasing after things. He said, seek him first and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. What about children? What about finances? What about relationship? God does it. God does it. I'm telling you, God, what about this church? I remember when we started the church, you know, Pastor Lan had this vision. Oh, we had the first meeting. Everybody came. The next two Sundays, we were four or five people. And we're wondering, God, what's going to happen? But over the years, consistent. Yes, we fell off sometimes. Yes, we're not consistent sometimes. But thank God for the spirit of prayer that is back. And here we are. This is even just a small thing. This is not nothing. This is not nothing. Because as a church, the leadership of the church has committed themselves to prayer. Thank God for our pastors leading the church. Thank God for 365 days of prayer in the church. Any of you that is part of that, you are seeing the impact in the life. Listen, if you want your life to change, pray. Husbands, pray for your wife. I know there's someone here. You are believing God for a child. Husband, lay your hands on the tummy of your wife now and begin to call that child forth now. Because guess what? That was what Isaac did. After 10 years, 12 years of marriage, Isaac and Rebecca had no children. The Bible says that God heard the prayer of Isaac. Isaac called upon the Lord. And guess what? God gave them double duty, twins, Jacob and what Esau. Prayer. You can tie any revival, you can tie any major shift in life to somebody that planted their knees on prayer, in prayer. I know my grandmother prayed for me. I know my mother prayed for me. I know my friends pray for me. I know my pastor prayed for me. I will be nowhere without prayer. I know my wife prays for me. Listen, you will not go far without praying. And let me tell you something as I close. In this church, we have made every opportunity for you to be able to pray. It's not mandated, but listen, if you want your life to change, you might as well make a decision. Because this is the analogy God gave me. God told me, he said, we Christians are like people who join the gym. Many of us have gym membership, but we never go to the gym. We've got the membership. We've got the access to the gym. But we never go in. We never even solicit the help of a trainer to show us what we need to do, to show us how to tone our abs, to show us how to work those equipment. We're just coming in. Oh yeah, I got a gym membership, man. You know, I don't know what I'm going to do with that membership. Oh Lord, help me. Listen, go to the gym. Come to church. Church is the gym. You walk out, you pump up, and then you go outside and you make a difference. That is what it's all about. Get your act together. It's not about having access to the gym or having a membership in the gym. It's about actually doing the work, paying the price, waking up. It's not easy to wake up at 5:30 every morning to drive here, bring your own family to pray. If you look at Cornelius, his whole family was involved. It wasn't just Cornelius moving and the family and the children behind, or the wives leading the charge, where the husband sits at home and crosses his leg and watches. Oh, God have mercy. No, no, no. That is not it. Everybody come together. You need to see and understand that God loves you. God wants to change your life. There's no need for you to become complacent about it. Just get to God. Oh, God knows everything, so why should I pray? That is ignorance. The sovereignty of God means that God is all supreme. It does not mean that God does not change things. God never changes his character. God is not an independent variable. He's not something you can manipulate and change. Yes, you can't change God's character, but guess what? God can change his mind for you. God can change his mind for you. God can turn things around. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, I need to get that scripture very clearly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4:18, that the things you see in life are temporal. In other words, they are subject to change. But the things you do not see are eternal. Let me tell you, what you are going through now is only temporal. It's just a seasonal thing. There was a time when I thought, oh wow, Ben, I'm just a student. Am I going to be a student for life? Am I just going to be in this status for life? But guess what? That season changed. Hallelujah. And I know God is going to move me to another season. Hallelujah. And the same way God is going to move you to another season. What you are going through is subject to change. Let me tell you another story. I was in grad school at DePaul, and they told me, they registered me for a class that I was not supposed to be, I thought I had paid for, and it required me to pay $5,000 extra. I said, I don't have that money. I went to them and they said, there's nothing we can do about it. In fact, it's in our policy that we cannot allow you to go to graduate without you paying this money. And I said, wow, I don't have this money. Guess what I did? I went to God. I said, God of my father, God of my father, I call upon you right now. You know my situation. You know my situation. You know, Lord God Almighty, that when I was starting this class, they told me I was good and done. And you know that you said when you will see me from the beginning to the end, you will see me to completion. You will bring everything that I do to an expected end. Now, Lord, behold, they are threatening. Do your work. Guess what? The next week, I went to see the dean. When I went to see the dean, they told me, you can't see the dean. I said, I'm here to see the dean. And if the dean can't see me, I want to see who's above the dean. And they said, okay, no problem. Let me see the dean. I sat there with the dean and I told the dean, this is the situation. I was told I could graduate. Now you're telling me to pay $5,000. I don't have it. What do we do? You got to do something. Because listen, what you are seeing is subject to change. Nudge your neighbor and say, what I see is subject to change. Say, what I'm experiencing is subject to change. The man now said, you know what? We don't normally do this, but guess what? You are free to graduate. And then he sent an email overriding the previous email that said I could not do it. God is going to send overriding emails. All the things that they said you couldn't do, God is going to begin to give you access and ability to do it. All the things that has been lying fallow, God is going to give you the ability to do it. But brothers and sisters, it begins in prayer. And listen, if you have not committed yourself to prayer, this is a good time to commit to it. This is a good time to commit to prayer. This is a good time to commit to the God of your Father, to bring petition to Him. Hallelujah. To bring petition to Him. To bring your case before Him. Hallelujah. To bring your case before Him. Listen, prayer is just the beginning. Prayer is not the end. The ultimate is a relationship with God. Hallelujah. The ultimate is about Jesus Christ. You see, another part of prayer is the pardon of prayer. God will pardon your sins. When you come to Him, He will pardon you. He will restore relationship. He will restore fellowship with you. He will call you and say, you know, that's why He says, forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against us. It's all about the pardoning power of God. Don't run away from God. Run to Him. God told me that many times when I was still hooked on sin, still hooked on certain habits. God said, this is not the time to run away from me. Listen, when you are in trouble, that's where you need to run to me. And I ran to Him. Thank God I ran. But I'm here to announce to you, if you are running away from God today, hear my voice, even those watching via the internet, stop running from God. God wants you. He wants to solve the problem. And trust me, He can solve the problem. He's able to solve the problem. He has proven Himself over the years, hundreds and thousands of years, that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ever ask, think, or imagine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's the protection of prayer. You want some covering over your house? Just go to God and He will cover you. He will protect you. Oh, Masakata. He will protect you. Time fails me and I'm not going to go about it. Then there's the power of prayer, which we'll be talking about now. There's power in praying. There's power in praying. You can shake things. You can move things. I've seen it in my life. Not even as imperfection. I'm not a perfect person by any means or stretch of the means or means of the stretch. I even want to say, my wife can testify to that. But I believe. He says the prayer of faith. You've got to believe this thing works. He says they that come to God must believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If you seek God in prayer, you will have longevity. Longevity is promised to those who engage in prayer. God will sustain your life. He will extend your life because you are a person of prayer. You are a person that intercedes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us. Remember James 1:22, which urges us to not only be hearers, but also doers of the word. This message and more can be found on the web at www.thecitylight.org.